focused in worshiping. If you feel that you're going to be distracted, I want you all to close your eyes and just chime into the song, okay? If you guys know the song, can you sing it with me? Yes, no, maybe so.
Tried so hard to see it, took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it, you give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things and raise them to
for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come together once again and worship you, God. Thank you for keeping us when we're sick or just in a dark place. I pray that you'll just move in this room, God, move in our hearts as we sing this next song, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing is a sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call, and I
with me.
I hear you call. I am available. I say yes, Lord. I am available.
Dear God, wherever you want us to go, God, whatever you want us to do, God, we're listening. We're listening for you, God. We're available for anything that you need us for, God. Whatever plan you have in store for us, God, wherever you want to guide us to, wherever you want to lead us, God, we're listening. We're available. We're ready. Please just let us open our hearts, God, and be willing to receive the plan that you have for us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you give this worship team a round of applause today, please, as you have a seat? Welcome to Chapel, first Chapel of 2023, and we have an incredible treat for you today. It's not table talk with Pastor Gentile. That would be interesting, though. But what we do have is a very, very good friend of mine who I've invited to come back and join us. He made the drive all the way from Squim today. He's a former Life Christian Academy teacher. He is a Life Center, former Life Center high school, junior high pastor. He has done it all. He's preached on this stage. You may recognize him as Pastor Pat Lynn. Would you make some noise for him today? Yeah. Give him 100% of your attention, because I believe the words that are going to come from his mouth are for you. For you.
Amen. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? Oh, you guys are so alive, man. I did the high school just a minute ago, and they're like, good, good. But you guys are like, hey, you know what I'm talking about? That is awesome. Can I tell you how excited I am to be here today? Like, I love this place, and what I love about it is I love Jesus in this place, and the fact that this is a place that wants to honor God with everything that it has and encourage you to do the same. And I'm believing in the first chapel of 2023 that God has something special for you. As a matter of fact, I'm believing that you could walk out of here a totally different person and in a different authority than you walked into this place. Some of you guys are like, what do you mean authority? I'm in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. I don't know what you mean authority. And here's what I mean. What I mean is, if you've invited the Holy Spirit and God to live inside of you, Jesus says that all authority on heaven and earth has actually been given to you because of that. Like, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you don't have to walk around in fear. You don't have to walk around being like, some of you guys, I know you come to school and you're like, oh man, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to be in the hallway, or I don't want to be in first period, or maybe it's the last period of the day, or lunch, or whatever it is for you. You're like, I don't want to do it. And some of you guys are like the opposite. The day's coming to a close and you're like, please don't make me go home. I do not want to go home. But here's what I believe. I believe that in everything that you are walking in, God is setting the table for something great in you. And just as those worship songs said, it says, what? You call, right? And it says, I'm available. Available just means to be here and say, yeah, Lord, you can do what you want in me. Are you kidding me? God, I'm yours. I remember when I said, God, I'm yours. I was 19. It was the second Thursday of October, 1999. I'm talking a long time ago, people, and it changed everything about my life. Everything. Matter of fact, the first time I walked in this room, I think I was maybe 20. I'm not 20 anymore. I'm 43. It was like 23 years ago. I sat over in that corner. And even at that point in time, I didn't understand the authority that God was going to put in my life, because I learned to walk in Him. Because God has been changing me this whole time. Even when I used to come speak here as a teacher, I have a different authority as a speaker now than I did when I was a teacher here because God is still growing me. It's nothing about the position. It's about what God's doing in me, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm available. Can you put up my slides for me? I want to show you this. You guys can see this behind me. I want to come today with this idea that God is the greatest table setter of all time. Now, we have a nicely set table right here. A couple nice little plates, little action. If I had some fingernails, I could do this, but I can't. Miss Congeniality, great movie. She does this right here, and it makes a noise. Way before you guys, but the teachers know what I'm talking about. Any teachers in there? Yes, thank you. Anyway, this is an awesomely set table. And it takes time to set a table. And what do you set a table for? A meal. I love the idea of a table setter in sports, right? Like, I'm a sports guy. I love sports. Baseball season's coming up right now. We got any baseball players in the room? Anybody? Any fast pitch players? Anybody out there going to go play girls fast pitch? Anybody? Used to coach it. Loved it. Okay. Here's the deal with sports. You have a pitcher that starts the game. His job is to allow as few runs as possible. Maybe, you know, you watch the Mariners, he pitches 4 or 5 innings. At the end of maybe the 4th or 5th, or sometimes a little bit further if he's really good, there'll be a reliever that comes in. The relieving pitcher's job is just to get them to the end of the game so they can bring the closer out. Here's the closer's job. The closer's job is to come out and pitch 9 pitches. I put up a 3. Not very good at math. 9 pitches, right? So that the 3 batters that come up and go down, and the closer wins the game by a run or two. Man, you know what? The Yankees used to have an amazing closer. His name was Mariano Rivera. If he was on the mound and they had a 1-run lead, the Yankees were going to win. Like, it didn't matter. He was the closer. The game was over. Okay, I love hoops. I was a basketball guy. I'm not going to argue with you who the greatest basketball player is of all time. I'm sure we got some opinions in the room. Half of you, I'm hearing some good ones. But I will say this. The greatest table setter and closer of all time, Michael Jordan. And here's why. Michael Jordan could have like 10, 15 points going into half. And he would use his team so well that he would get to the 4th quarter having conserved some energy, and he finished the game with 40 or 50 points. And when he got to the 4th, if the game was anywhere close, he'd look at you and be like, the game's over. There was a great trash talker, Larry Bird. He used to do this. Look him up on YouTube. He'd come in the game and he would literally tell the person playing defense, hey, matter of fact, he's famous for this. I'm going to catch the ball. And then I'm going to go to the elbow, and I'm going to give you a jab to the right, and I'm going to do a leaner off my left foot and sink it right over your face, and then I'm going to run the other direction. Okay, there are YouTube videos of this guy talking smack and saying that, and then winning the game. Like, it is incredible. But you know what? Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Mariano Rivera, they got nothing on God. Nothing. Teachers, in just a few minutes, 10, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come up here. And students, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, because here's what I believe. I believe that we like to live our lives based on circumstances, which are the things we're going through. Like today, I had a terrible conversation with a friend, or I got in a fight or an argument, or this is going on at school and it sucks. And God says, live your life by faith. Why does he say to live it by faith? Because you and me, we see this much of our life, and God sees all of it, and he sees past it. How many of you guys heard my story of breaking my neck? You were here last year when I shared that. If I quit saying yes in Jesus when I broke my neck, I wouldn't be able to use my feet at all. If I stopped when I was totally paralyzed, I wouldn't have 3 kids and a wife. If I said no to my wife the first time she rejected me, if I quit, we wouldn't be married. Matter of fact, she said no to me 3 times. 3 times. I'm like, what? With these kind of looks? Are you serious? The first time she was like, no. The second time she was like, well, I'm kind of seeing someone. What does that mean? She hates when I share this story, but by the way, kind of seeing someone means you're not really seeing someone. So I pulled out all the stops. You know what I did? I sent her 10 notes. Yeah, you probably did. Yeah. Let me tell you what they were. They were like this. It was the top 10 reasons you should stop seeing the kind of guy you're kind of seeing and go out with me. And they were great reasons, you guys. Let me give them to you. They were like this. My walker already has 4 wheels, so you'll never be a third wheel in my life. I feel like I should stand up and take a bow, but that would be dangerous. You know, other ones were like, I get the best parking in any parking lot. No need to walk from a distance, sweetheart. You know? Hey, any concert, half off front row. Why wouldn't you go out with somebody that has all those bennies? You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Sometimes life doesn't go the way that we want it to go, or it isn't going the way that we want it to go, and we quit. You can't quit. God is setting the table for great things in your life. Now, since I was talking about dating for a second, just let me say this. Not that I think anyone in your age group really should be dating, but maybe you are, but who knows? But ladies, if you get asked out and dude does not set the table correctly for you, thank you very much. I don't know who that was, but I'm preaching. And gentlemen, let me just say this. If you're not ready to set the table well and be a gentleman, you're not ready to date. But it's not even what I'm talking about today. All the teachers in the room are like, how's he going to recover from that? Here's how. Let me bring you back to the table. Give me that first passage. God says that he is preparing a feast for each and every one of us. And I've been struggling with this for a long time. Psalm 23, go to the next line. It's a very famous psalm. Flip to the next page. It has this line right there. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Now, if I went back and read the past of that, David wrote this psalm in the middle of a great time of trials in his life. He was having a hard time. It says, even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you protect me. And then God prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Who wants to eat a meal when you're standing next to someone? In David's case, it's literally someone who wanted to kill him. Nobody. But think about this idea that we have such a mighty God that David could back up and take a seat at the table with God and worry about no one when people are trying to take his life. Give me the next picture. This is Google. Hopefully, at some point in your life, you get to go to a nice, nicely set table for a meal. I love going to my mother-in-law's house because she sets a table like this. And the thing about a nicely set table is that there's an expectation that the meal is going to be amazing. Think about your Christmas or your Thanksgiving. Maybe it didn't look like this, but hopefully you got to spend some time this year and you went to a Thanksgiving or a Christmas that it was like, oh, I can still taste it in my mouth. And the thing about those meals, you can smell them coming. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're home and you're in the living room and that meal's getting cooked, you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You can taste it in your mouth right now because your brain's like, oh, taste that. It's amazing. You know what I'm talking about. God has been setting this table. And here's the thing. If you think about Jesus meeting Jesus at a table like that, it might feel intimidating. But Jesus wants to meet you at a table like this. He's been setting the table to meet with you and for great things to happen in your life since the beginning of time. And the enemy can't do anything about it as long as you say, Lord, I'm available and I want to walk with you. A couple minutes, you're going to have a chance to respond to this, but I want to prove it to you. We've just come out of the Christmas season. Come to these next passages for me right here. And here's the thing about Christmas. Christmas is, that one's perfect. Christmas is an amazing time because you know what? From the beginning of time, the enemy knew, and the Bible says that Satan is very real, that there would be a boy who came to this world, that the Son of God would come, that he'd be born of a virgin, and that he couldn't, that Satan himself could not do anything about the fact that he was going to arrive. So Isaiah prophesies about this in Isaiah 9, and this is hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. And teachers, you can make your way up here. I'm going to ask you to come on up here, and we're going to give kids an opportunity to respond. So I get into this. And you know what, Christoph, if you have anything you can put on up there, I know that Mr. Lawyer had to leave. That would be spectacular. But it says this in Isaiah. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Satan knew this was coming. He could read it. Isaiah chapter 7, it says this, then Isaiah said, listen well, royal line of David, isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? In other words, shouldn't you listen to God and quit living the life you're living? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? All right then, he said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Go to the next one, Mary and Joseph. Mary's 13, 14, 15 years old. When a spirit of the Lord, when an angel comes to her and says, Mary, don't be afraid. How many of you guys are standing, there's an angel in front of you, I'd be terrified. Don't be afraid. And then guess what? You're going to get pregnant. And it's not going to be by a man. The Spirit of the Lord's going to come upon you, and you're going to carry the Lord's baby, and you're going to name him Jesus. And you know what? Jesus doesn't sound like Emmanuel. It's not the same. But you know what else, Mary? In those days, if you got pregnant and you weren't married and it wasn't your husband's baby, they stoned you. It was terrifying. He says, don't be worried. They literally took you out and beat you to death. Then he goes to Joseph and he says, Joseph, don't be afraid to be married to Mary. The baby that's inside her is from God, and you're going to name him Jesus. Jesus. Do you know what Jesus means? In Hebrew, it means this, salvation. It literally means God's salvation. Jesus walked around with the name salvation for 30 years on our earth, and Satan couldn't do anything about it. And then he was crucified, and the Bible says that he rose again. And before he went off, he told his disciples this. Put up the next passage. I'm leaving and I'm going to my Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you at his table. And if I leave, I surely will come back and take you there with me. Today, there's two kinds of people I want to talk to in this room, and I'm going to be quiet in just a minute. I'm just going to start praying for you, and the music's going to go up, and we're just going to have some people up here, some of your staff, your teachers who care and love about you. And the challenge is this today. The challenge is to let fear go and say, you know what? I believe more in God than I do in fear. That I believe God has better things for me today than maybe the embarrassment of something I'm holding on to or standing up in front of my friends or the peer pressure that comes. And that today could be different and I could walk out of this place in the authority of God, understanding that he has good things ahead for me. So maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. When the music goes up and I just start praying, you can come forward and one of these guys, they'd love to pray for you. Today could be the day that Jesus changed your life and you look back the first chapel of 2023 and you walked out a different person. Or maybe today's the day for you, the other kind of person, that you've said yes to Jesus before, but there are just things in your life
that you need to let go of and let God remove. Every journey you have to walk, and it's by faith. You don't know where he wants to take you. Our job is just to respond yes when he opens the door for us. So I'm going to pray, and that music's going to go up. And if you want to stand with me, you can just take the opportunity to walk forward while I'm praying. If not, no pressure. You can just sing and worship. But Lord Jesus, we just love you. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We put ourselves down. We lay down ourselves at your throne. God, we lay down our treasures at your throne. We lay down our fears at your throne. We lay down our gifts at your throne. Father, we ask that you would cleanse us. Father, we ask that you would walk in us. Father, we ask that you would work in us. Father, I pray for every student in this room that in just a moment of silence, you'd be speaking to them through your Holy Spirit. Lord, that they would say yes. Whether that's a yes to you right now or a yes to Lord, I need to come back to you, or a yes to Lord, I want what's next. It doesn't matter, but that we would be obedient and say yes to Jesus. Father, we open up this place. I ask that you would heal hearts, that you would open minds and hearts right now to accept what you might have to say to us. God, I ask that you would empower students for their future, Lord, that the students would come today, and today would be the day that changed them, and they'd walk forever knowing that God has their back, and they walk in the authority of Jesus. No matter what we see, we can walk by faith through it, and we thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We lift you up. Let's let that music play. Don't let fear keep you sitting where you are. Fear's a liar. Fear's going to tell you that you're not good enough, that what you did was too bad. The Lord says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come to give you life and life to the full. God doesn't say there's anything perfect about any of us. And this shouldn't be something that's abnormal. We shouldn't be afraid to stand up in front of our friends and get someone to pray for us, even though we are. This is something we should do. Say, Lord, have somebody pray over me. God, I want to give this to you. Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. Or Lord, I just don't feel good enough. Or Lord, I've been trapped in my own thoughts. I don't believe God has good things for me. We confess those. And as we confess, the power of the enemy, it is removed. The authority of Jesus is set in place. The gift of God is released. He's a mighty God. Who tells their enemy what they're going to do and then does it? Nobody. If I'm coaching a game, I'm not telling the other coach anything my team's doing. God's like, hey, here's everything my team's going to do, and you can't do anything about it. He's that good. Matter of fact, I'll give you the notes hundreds of years ahead of time. What if today's the day that God releases something for you? What if today's the day that he puts something in your heart? What if today's the day you step out and God says, I'm going to walk with you in that because you were brave enough to do so? What if that's today? Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place that your presence would be thick here. That your love would be thick here. That your joy would be thick here. That fear would have no place in this room, in this school. Fear, you have no authority at Life Christian School. Fear, you have no authority in any classroom. Fear, you have no authority in any hallway. Fear, you have no authority in any relationship. Fear, you do not have a place here. We still have a couple minutes. We still have teachers. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Father. We submit ourselves to you right now. Lord, we thank you for the miracles that are happening in this room right now. That any little thing that you do for us is miraculous. That any time we can give up of ourselves and let you take more, that's miraculous. Thank you, Lord, for every student and every teacher. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your prayers. Hi, my friend.
I missed what you were saying while I was praying. You didn't give the hint about that coming just a prayer, just about agreeing with the thing that I said close the last chapel. Do you like to say that?
No, go for it. Okay.
All right, students, as we prepare to wrap this up today, I want you to understand something. Coming forward to an altar for prayer doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. This should be a part of every believer's life, agreeing with others about something, whatever's going on in prayer, agreeing about a dream that God has given you, a hope for your future. We should be doing this all the time. So I am grateful for the courage of those that came forward, but I want you to understand this should be normal to pray with each other, for you to pray with your peers, for you to pray with your teachers. You can do this at any time. So LCA, as we wrap this up today, would you go in the confidence and knowledge of the Lord's love? It is what leads us forward. In Jesus' name. If you're still up here to receive prayer, please stay. If you're not, if you've already been prayed for, or if you're done with school for the day, would you please, especially National Junior Honor Society and ASB, make sure we get everything cleaned up on your way out of here. Make it a great day, and let's go Eagles.